Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Heather is a nurse practitioner from UnitedHealthcare.
We meet patients wherever they live.
During a house call, she found Jack had an issue.
Jack's blood pressure was dangerously high.
It was 217 over 110.
So they got Jack to the hospital and got him the help he needed.
He had had a stent placed in his heart, preventing a massive heart attack.
If it wasn't for my guardian angel, I wouldn't be here.
Hear more stories like Jack's at unitedhealthcare.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan. Area limitation and exclusions apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
And hour number 7 for me. So you'll get to hear me all the way up till 10 o'clock tonight as I fill in for Jimmy Failla on Fox Across America. Appreciate that. So today is a big day. But anyway, all right, we got a lot to get to this hour, and I'm grateful that Jack Carr joined us a little while ago. Please do go to 1210wphg.com and get your tickets for our Politics and Pints. I just don't want you to miss out because Jack's fans are rabid, and he's waiting to post it until we all get our chance. And then, you know, it's going to sell out like it always does. So do that today, okay? 1210wphg.com, okay? Great. Excellent. Good. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. So we have Ryan Ruth, all five charges guilty. This is the guy who, of course, tried to kill President Trump at his golf course in Florida. What's interesting about this is he tried to paint himself as some kind of martyr, and he also tried to kill himself in court today. But the prosecution did an outstanding job, and they deserve a round of applause for how diligently they worked to present all the evidence and all the facts and to prove his intent and the motive, and all that was necessary to secure a conviction here in this case. But they really did. They did a great job. And he represented himself, and he did a terrible defense, but that's not why they found him guilty. They found him guilty because the prosecution did a great job. All charges. After the verdict was read, he tried to stab himself in the neck with a pen. 4 U.S. Marshals restrained him, and they had to describe his clear intent to kill Trump. And they were able to do that. Also today, the United States Secret Service has dismantled a massive telecom network in New York City. And that was a really big deal that came out early this morning, actually. The U.N. General Assembly being in town, and they dismantled this network that could literally shut down the entire cell phone service around the General Assembly in New York. They say devices were found 35 miles of the UN General Assembly meeting in New York City. And they announced that they dismantled this network of electronic devices located throughout the New York tri-state area that were used to conduct multiple telecommunications-related threats directed towards senior U.S. government officials. Quote, this network had the potential to disable cell phone towers and essentially shut down the cellular network in New York City, said Matt McCool. Almost sounds made up, but it's not. Matt McCool, the special agent in charge of the Secret Service New York field office. McCool told the Associated Press that the investigation found that definitely nation state foreign governments were communicating over that network to known criminals in the United States and known organized crime, known cartels, terrorist groups were using the network to run their communications anonymously and encrypted. The Secret Service said it found more than 300 co-located SIM servers and 100,000 SIM cards across multiple sites. And they said, quote, in addition to carrying out anonymous telephonic threats, these devices could be used to conduct a wide range of telecommunications attacks. This includes disabling cell phone towers, enabling denial of services attacks, and facilitating anonymous encrypted communication between potential threat actors and criminal enterprises. Now, they're going to do forensic examination, but early analysis includes cellular communications between nation-state threat actors and individuals that are known to federal law enforcement. And this guy, McCool, said, to be clear, these recovered devices no longer pose a threat to the New York tri-state area. We will continue working towards identifying those responsible and their intent, including whether their plan was to disrupt the UN General Assembly and communications of government and emergency personnel during the official visit of world leaders. Forensic examinations of the equivalent of 100,000 cell phones worth of data is underway. I guess the only question I have here is, how does something like this happen with all of the spying and communications that they're doing right now? And is this just going to be one of those things where they try to use it to, drag a bigger net, as they say? I always get nervous about these stories because I feel as if it turns around and inevitably the government then needs more of an excuse to monitor people and their data. And hopefully that's not the outcome of this. But in the meantime, they're saying the Department of Homeland Security, along with the Justice Department and others, the potential for disruption to our country's telecommunications posed by this network of devices cannot be overstated, said U.S. Secret Service Director Sean Curran. The U.S. Secret Service's protective mission is all about prevention, and this investigation makes it clear to potential bad actors that imminent threats to our protectees will be immediately investigated, tracked down, and dismantled. So there you go. They move quickly to disrupt this network, given the fact that the U.N. was in town, the president was going to be there speaking, which he did. We played some clips earlier. I'll play some more for you as the show goes on this hour. One of the other things, too, is that as Kamala Harris's book tour is out, and it's not going well for her, one of the chapters reveals that she was really unhappy with Tim Walz's debate performance. I know you're just as shocked as I am by this, just as shocked. Kamala Harris was shocked at how bad Tim Walz did. I guess what? When they vetted him, they never looked at any of his debate performance. Is that it? They never looked at any of his time. But she felt he was too schmaltzy. And according to the book, she moaned to her husband during Walz's disastrous VP debate. I don't think it's the kind of moaning you're thinking of, you pervert. But former Vice President Kamala Harris detailed her running mate Tim Walz's debate performance in the new book, recounted a showdown with then-Senator J.D. Vance, which ultimately left her disappointed. She writes in her new book, 107 Days, that she needed the Minnesota doofus to be the closer at the October 1st, 2024 debate. Close what? Out of curiosity. Closer implies you're winning. You weren't winning. So what is there to close? Given that she was not going to have another opportunity to debate Trump, but during the debate, she turned to her husband in frustration and said, when Tim fell for it and started nodding and smiling at JD's fake bipartisanship, I moaned to Doug, what is happening? Making it the first time she ever moaned in Doug's presence. I kid. Harris wrote explaining how she believed Walz was duped by Vance's mild-mannered, aw shucks attitude. Well, what the hell did you think you were getting, lady? Huh? Did you not see the guy for more than 5 minutes? That's his whole act. And with Tim Walz, is he's going to come across like a total doofus. And Vance's mild-mannered, aw shucks attitude is not what I saw that night. I saw a guy who was a shark, and I saw Tim Walz be the beta guy that he was and back right down. That's what I saw. I didn't see his bipartisanship or aw shucksness. I saw an alpha male and a beta male on that stage. That's what I saw. JD was the alpha and Tim Walz was the beta. That's what I looked at. I told the television screen, you're not there to make friends with the guy who is attacking your running mate. Harris lamented that there was more riding on Tim's debate than there should have been, and that being the closer and debating on such a large scale was not a comfortable role for Waltz. He had fretted from the outset that he wasn't a good debater. I discounted his concerns. He was so quick and pithy in front of the crowds at our rallies, I thought he'd bring those qualities to the podium. I assume that she's referring to the way that he would come out and dance like Richard Simmons to Sweating to the Oldies at every one of her rallies. I'm guessing that that's what she means. I don't know. Tim fell into a pattern of defending his record as governor. Then he fumbled his answer when the moderator predictably questioned why he had claimed to be in Hong Kong during the democracy protests in Tiananmen Square. Tim had been on his way to teach in China that summer, but hadn't yet left the United States on the date of the massacre. Instead of simply stating that he'd gotten his dates mixed up, but that being in China during a period of human rights oppression had profoundly influenced him, he talked about biking in Nebraska. He's a beta, and he's a beta male, and that's why she wanted him, though. And that's the reality. Look, I may not agree with Josh Shapiro's politics, but Josh Shapiro's an alpha male. She didn't want Josh Shapiro. Not only that, but he's Jewish, and that was the other reason why she didn't want him. But she did not want anybody who would upstage her, or who would outshine her in any way, shape, or form. She, in other words, wanted a reliable beta soy boy as her running mate. Harris mentioned a Saturday Night Live skit after the debate that depicted Harris and her husband Doug watching the debate and spitting out wine in shock. Harris wrote that while she didn't actually spit out wine while watching, I mean, in her defense, she doesn't spit out wine. She swallows the wine, a lot of it, gallons at a time, but that's clear. So there's no spitting when it comes to alcoholic beverages and Kamala Harris. So I'm not trying to imply anything. I'm not trying to do a double entendre. I'm literally just talking about alcohol here, and there's no spilling of alcohol. I guarantee you that. And she's acknowledging that. She does not spit out alcohol. No way. She might have gulped in shock. She might have gulped it all down. There's no way she was spitting out that wine. Tim felt bad that he hadn't done better, Harris wrote after consuming mass quantities of wine. I reassured him that the election would not be won or lost on account of that debate. And in fact, it had a negligible effect in our polling. In choosing Tim, I thought that as a second-term governor and 12-year congressman, he would know what he was getting into. In hindsight, how could anyone? This is a part of the blame game here that Harris is doing, blaming literally everyone but Kamala Harris. Literally everyone. Harris wrote that she encouraged Waltz to be resilient during the campaign and suggested that he struggle with the unfair attacks on his record and that it took a toll on his family. For the candidate, the family, that is your source of strength, and it can become your weakness in a presidential campaign. Tim was outraged by the unfairness. When I was a newly elected DA, an elderly gentleman in Atlanta pulled me aside with a bit of advice. Baby, you be sure and don't make it look too easy. Ah, he knew it was not. And the higher you rise in the political food chain, the harder it gets. This is not a genteel profession. You must be ready to brawl. She goes into it and starts talking about why she chose Waltz over Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro. She made a point of noting that her senior staff strongly favored Tim and that her godson, along with her sister and brother-in-law, also preferred Waltz. So add all them to the blame game, too. Yep, they're all the blame as well. Dougie and I went back and forth. He had known Josh longer and leaned that way. It was always going to have to be my decision. I told my staff and my family that I didn't want any more input, and I went to do something practical. I made a tasty rub and seasoned a pork roast. By the time I went to bed, I decided on Waltz. Okay. I made a tasty rub and seasoned a pork roast. By the time I went to bed, I decided on Waltz. Well, I obviously rubbing that tasty rub on that pork roast would make anybody think of Tim Walz, and that would seal the deal there, I guess. Anyway, yeah, so add him to the long list of people to blame for her loss. Everybody but Kamala Harris, literally. So, yeah, I know it's awkward. The whole thing is awkward. And of course, the exchange, which I played earlier in the show today, with her and Rachel Maddow, with Little Pete Buttigieg, and why she didn't pick him, and the whole thing about him being gay, and she just didn't think America was ready. So she didn't pick him, not because he's gay, but because he's gay. So, yeah. And Kamala claims that the 2024 election, in which she lost every swing state and the popular vote, was somehow the closest presidential election in the 21st century. This is one of the claims she made with Rachel Maddow today. This is cut number 12, I should say last night, from her appearance on MSNBC. Cut 12.
The sitting vice president enters the race against a former president of the United States who's been running for 10 years with 107 days. The sitting vice president.
Oh, okay. I don't know if that's that. Is that the audio just broke up? Okay, got it. Oh, all right.
Enters the race against a former president of the United States who's been running for 10 years with 107 days to go. And it ended up being the closest presidential election in the 21st century. And
that's funny. That's cute. That's very cute. It's also the big story of the hour, brought to you by Dr. Mike Veneria. VeneriaDental.com. Go see him today and get an implant consultation. If you've already had an implant consultation, get a second opinion with the master himself. 12 years in a row, the guy that the other dentists call the expert is my dentist, Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. It's been a very, very bad time for Kamala Harris, but nothing takes the cake. I mean, nothing like this exchange about Pete Buttigieg with Rachel Maddow from MSNBC last night, in which she basically implies that we're just still a homophobic nation and we would just never vote for a gay guy. Doesn't matter that his ideas are terrible and he wants to implement this communist green agenda and scam. It's just because he's gay. But that's not why she picked him or didn't pick him. It had nothing to do with him being gay. It was just everything about the fact that he's gay, as our friend Kerry, and not Minnie, pointed out. But Minnie also made other astute observations, including posting a picture of Nick Cale with the crotch shot. But that's for another time in the show. Anyway, cut number 11.
I guess I'd ask you to just elaborate on that a little bit. It's hard to hear.
Yeah.
With you running as, you know, you're the first woman elected vice president. You're a black woman and a South Asian woman elected to that high office, very nearly elected president. To say that he couldn't be on the ticket effectively because he was gay is hard to hear.
No. That's not what I said. That he couldn't be on the ticket because he is gay. My point, as I write in the book, is that I was clear that in 107 days, in one of the most hotly contested elections for president of the United States,
against I couldn't have a gay guy
like Donald Trump, who knows no floor, to be a black woman running for president of the United States, and as a vice presidential running mate, a gay man, with the stakes being so high. It made me very sad, but I also realized it would be a real risk. No matter how, you know, I've been an advocate and an ally of the LGBT community my entire life.
Oh,
so it wasn't about any prejudice on my part, but
that
we had such a short period of time, and the stakes were so high. I think Pete is a phenomenal, phenomenal public servant.
And but he's gay.
I think America is and would be ready for that. But when I had to make that decision with 2 weeks to go, you know, and maybe I was being too cautious, you know, I'll let our friends, we should all talk about that. Maybe I was. But that's the decision I made. And I, as with everything else in the book, I'm being very candid about that.
Yeah.
With a great deal of sadness about also the fact that it might have been a risk.
So, and I got to give Carrie Marie credit for this because she made the observation before me. But so I didn't pick him not because he's gay. I didn't pick him because he's gay, but not because he's gay, just only because of the fact that he's a homosexual and America is not ready for that. Therefore, I couldn't pick him. But it's not because he's gay. It's only because he likes other men. Got it. That makes perfect sense. You know, she probably made that decision after making a rub and seasoning a pork. You know, I'm gonna take a break because this is hour number six, almost 7 hours of radio. So before I say something that'll get me canceled by the FCC, because I know Brendan Carr and I are not friends. But I am just going to wonder if she came up with that while she was seasoning a big piece of meat, or if that was just when she was thinking about Tim Walz. I'm not sure. So anyway, all right, quick break. We're coming right back as we continue along the show in our fourth and final hour. Get your Jack Carr tickets, 1210 WPHG, because Jack Carr and I are friends. No relation to Brendan Carr, by the way. 1210WPHG.com is where you go. Politics and Pints, October 13th. Don't miss it. We'll be right back.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Heather is a nurse practitioner from UnitedHealthcare.
We meet patients wherever they live.
During a house call, she found Jack had an issue.
Jack's blood pressure was dangerously high.
It was 217 over 110.
So they got Jack to the hospital and got him the help he needed.
He had had a stent placed in his heart, preventing a massive heart attack.
If it wasn't for my guardian angel, I wouldn't be here.
Hear more stories like Jack's at UnitedHealthcare.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan. Area limitation and exclusions apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, baby. Cooking with gasoline here. And you will get to hear me all the way up until 10 o'clock tonight. Filling in for Jimmy Failla on Fox Across America. So buckle up, Buttercup. And I'm trying to make this show different from that show so it's not just a repeat. And that is not easy. But I will ask Justin Otero, associate producer extraordinaire, his thoughts on the story that I read about the Major League Baseball is now going to allow robot umpires after a trial run proved successful. Robot umps, what do we think?
Now, normally I am anti-analytics nerd type stuff in baseball, more of a feel-based thing for the game. It's how it's always been for years. But in the last, it seems, 10 years, umpiring has just been on a steady and seemingly never-ending decrease of becoming worse and worse and worse, especially when you have umps like Angel Hernandez and Joe West. So having something built into the rules that now we can pretty much fact-check an ump is something that I am more than happy to have. It's way past time for us to be able to. I would have even taken just like us adding checking like how they have it now with this new system to the replay system that we have now, like where you can review home runs and you can review outs and stuff like that. If you would have just added checking if it's a ball or strike to that, I would have been fine with that. But now that we have robots, that'll be able to tell us exactly, pinpoint whether it's a ball or a strike, so we can fact check these horrible, horrible, egregious. And it's not all umpires. I won't say it's all umpires, but for the especially egregious ones, they deserve to have their work fact checked.
Now, what about football? Particularly considering that they'd have to program the robot referees to be all pro Dallas.
Nah, we're pro the refs are pro Kansas City these days.
Oh yeah, is that true?
Yeah,
is that because of Kelsey and Tay-Tay?
Oh, 100%.
That's the directive from the NFL, right?
Big Raj made the call.
By the way, what was the whole thing with Andy Reid and Travis arguing? What was all that about?
So Travis, he's not as he's getting up there in age. I think he's 35, 34-ish.
Yeah.
So he's not as good as he was in his prime, and he's not taking it as well as, say, his brother Jason did. He knew when it was time to go. He knew his body couldn't handle it anymore, and he's lashing out at anybody who will listen to him. This isn't the first time he's lashed out at Big Red. If you remember in the Super Bowl, I can't remember which one, if it was last year, this past Super Bowl, if it was the one in 22, he actually pushed Andy Reid and was yelling at
him
on the sideline.
So
it's not the first time that he's been gotten aggressive towards Andy Reid. I think it's just...
Well, you know why? Because Tay-Tay beats him up at home, and he needs to take it out on somebody else.
Yeah. I think it's just... He expects to be treated like he's still in his prime, and he's not. Further from the truth, he's in his prime, but he just doesn't know how to deal with it, and he's just kind of lashing out.
Matt's on Team Taylor Swift, by the way.
I'm not on Team Taylor Swift. Yes. I don't like her, and I don't like Travis Kelce.
I don't either. I hate both of them. I do. And I think
he's
the whole...
unbelievable.
The whole marriage is a giant psyop, in my opinion.
Great for him. His net worth has skyrocketed since they started dating, and now I guess they're ultimately engaged. But, it's through the roof.
Yeah. Oh, well, look, I mean, think about it, right? He doesn't have to work because he's going to be married to Taylor Swift. But he doesn't want to leave because he's going to have to be home all day with Taylor Swift. So that's the problem for him that he's in, the pickle that he's in, if you know what I mean. So if you stop playing football, then you're home all day with Tay-Tay. You know what I mean? That's not a good place for anybody.
So. Also, his net worth supposedly doubled since they started dating.
Of course. Of course. I mean, he went from being a football player to Mr. Taylor Swift. That comes with some money, some cashish. What do we think about you guys have not started watching the new show Task on HBO yet, have you?
I have not, but it does look good. I know I always say, you know what, I'm going to take your recommendation and watch it, and we all know that I never do. I actually do intend to watch that show. I saw a trailer for it, and it genuinely looks good.
I'm just curious to get, maybe we should pull some audio. We could have the audience weigh in on if they've nailed the Delco accent like they did in Mayor of Easttown. They're actually not easy to do. Oh, by the way, Jack Chiarelli will be on the show on, what did I say, Friday, Matt?
3:30, I believe.
3:30. He was just endorsed by the New Jersey Fraternal Order of Police. That just happened a short time ago. So we'll ask him about that on Friday at 3:30 when Jack Chiarelli joins the show. That'll be fun. And, yeah, no, I think I'm curious. We should get a clip of the show just to play and see if people think that they nailed the Delco accent. Because they kind of do a little heavy on the O. I don't know if they've overdone it. With the O, you know what I mean? So it's tricky because if you go too hard on that, you sound like you're from Baltimore, Baltimore, hon. But what's interesting is that every character in the show calls it Lancaster. If you're a local, wouldn't you call it Lancaster?
Yeah.
Not Lancaster, right?
Yeah, it's always been Lancaster.
Yeah, so they got that wrong.
How do you say it, Matt? I'm curious.
Lancaster?
I was fully expecting some Harvard elitist.
Yeah, some Harvard, yeah. Yeah.
That's how I say it.
Yeah.
By the way, I have the trailer in 2 seconds.
The Amish. Well, we could do it for tomorrow. Don't worry about it. We could. I don't think the trailer is going to show you anything because they just play music in it. So it's a good trailer, though. It's a good show.
Very good trailer.
What do we have? Oh, I know. Bill Maher and Meatloaf sat down together. Not the good Meatloaf, the bad Meatloaf.
No, Meathead.
Meathead.
Is his name Meathead? Yeah.
Yes.
Not Meatloaf.
Sorry, Meathead. I've been on the air since noon. Meatloaf. Meathead. Not Meatloaf. Right.
Long
I'm
day.
Punch drunk at this point. What has Rob Reiner done relevant? How is he still relevant? He doesn't do anything, does he? Does he even direct anymore?
I think the last thing he was in that I can remember was The Wolf of Wall Street. He played...
he was great in
that. Dad. Yeah. He was really good in that movie.
Yeah, he was phenomenal in that movie. But I think that was literally the last thing he's done, and that movie came out 42 years ago.
It's like 10 years old, I think. 2013, so it's 12 years old.
So how is it that he's still relevant is what I don't understand. Because isn't there a point where you have to keep making yourself relevant? Is it just purely that he talks about politics all the time? Why does Bill Maher have him on his podcast if he's not promoting something? What's the point of having him on? He's a by guy. He's an icon of a different era. You know what I mean?
Well, he was perpetually online, and I suspect he probably still is. I just think he's moved his routine to Blue Sky because I'm pretty sure he was one of the celebrities that deleted their ex account in frustration.
Took over. We were going to talk about this with Bill D'Agostino, but he'll be back tomorrow on the show. The story is that YouTube is now acknowledging that they did censor conservatives and is vowing not to do it anymore.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. I saw that in the Evernote.
It's nice that they've now admitted to it like 5 years later. But
can they censor Nick Cale's crotch shots going forward? Is that possible?
That's a good question. We should reach out.
I mean, I'm going to sound like everybody else right now and say no one loves the First Amendment more than me. But I don't think it's appropriate for Nick Cale to show his man legs and crotch on YouTube and that it should be censored. I don't think I'm out of line here in saying that. So maybe Brandon Carr and I do have something in common. Maybe community standards would dictate that a grown man should have to wear pants and cover his legs and not show everybody his twig and berries when he lifts his leg up to show everybody that he's no longer wearing flip-flops like a child. So these are just some of the thoughts I have. That's all.
I wish you'd kept them to yourself.
I should have, but I see that somebody tweeted that out. Was that Borowski who made that into a clip?
No, I just posted that a little
while ago.
Oh,
you did? Oh, good.
Yeah.
Well done. Well done. And Nick Cale retweets it. So I wonder if he was letting it all hang out when he did.
He's proud of his appearance.
So I'm curious about it. These are things I wonder. So Meathead, not to be confused with Meatloaf, went on with Bill Maher. When we get back, I'll play the clip for you. But first, let me tell you about my friends at Tri-County Auto. They have some really awesome specials going on right now. They always do. They're great people over there. And Jack Robinson, the general manager. Donald, what did I say yesterday? I messed his name up. Now I have it in my head because I got it wrong yesterday. And now I'm angry at myself. But it's been, again, a long show. And it's like one of those days where it all starts to come together and you're just... Your mind is like, I can't even remember anything right now. This is what happens when you're on the radio since noon. It feels like the Travis Manning Radiothon again. That's always how it feels, that by the end of the day, when you know the end is near and you start to lose your freaking mind. Donaldson. Jack Donaldson. Sorry, Jack. I might have said Robinson. Maybe I didn't. I don't know. I can't remember anything. All I know is this. They have amazing deals right now going on. Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram. And I'm very excited to share them with you right now. But most importantly, what makes that incredible dealership so special? The people. That's what it's about. Because at Tri-County Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram, and Tri-County Toyota, you'll find great people ready to take great care of you. The Drive into Fall sales event is happening right now at Tri-County Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram. Right now, you can get an ultra-low payment lease on a new 2025 Jeep Wrangler Sport 4xe, only $349 a month for 42 months. Or check out a new 2024 Dodge Hornet RT and lease for just $179 a month for 24 months. But you got to hurry in. These offers won't last long. Stop into the showroom today or visit online at tricountycdjr.com or tricounty.com. Right off of 422, easy to get to Limerick, Mainline, King of Prussia, Collegeville, anywhere from anywhere, even Lancaster or Lancaster. Easy to get to. Just go see them. Great people who will take great care of you, and they stand with us, and they stand with this show. And that's what counts the most, is their loyalty to us. So I really want you to see them today by going to tricounty.com for all their amazing specials. And if you want to drive a Jeep, they got great specials on the Jeep Wrangler right now, Jeep Cherokee, even the Jeep Compass too. And if you are looking for a Toyota, they've got 0% financing offers for you. All of it right there for you at tricounty.com. This is a wonderful dealership. As I mentioned, you'll look for the gigantic American flag. They stand with our veterans. That's how I met Brian and Cheryl, the owners, the Kriegers. They are huge supporters of the Travis Manion Foundation Radiothon. And that is why I love the great work that they do, because of that. So, please go see them today by going to tricounty.com. Tri-County Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram. Tri-County Toyota. Tri-County.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
UnitedHealthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
And I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in, here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at UnitedHealthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So, yeah. Oh, look at that. Dana Perino's on Special Report with Brett Baer, which I'm assuming they must be doing from New York since she's here today. So, I guess they're here. So she's here as late as I am. Poor thing. All right. Well, they asked me to go in America's Newsroom tomorrow. I can't because I'm on dad duty all morning. So I got to take care of that. My wife's got a thing. So anyway. All right. Here's Meathead. Not to be confused with Meatloaf, talking with Bill Maher on The Left Should Not Cooperate. Take a listen.
This would make some sense for the Democrats if they had any power. But the idea of we don't talk to you when we don't even have the power. Of course you have to talk to people. I mean, there was an article somebody wrote. He was.
But here's the thing. You're right. But here's the thing. Let's say we're going to have that argument. You're going to try to talk to somebody and you have a point of view. The other person has a point of view. Before you have the exchange, You have to agree on certain facts.
No, you don't. You can't. Once you start down that road.
Well, no, no.
But it's like these are, you just have to talk to people.
No, no, you talk to people. But if somebody says 2 + 2 = 4 and the other guy says, no, it's not, how do you begin the discussion?
Because it's Rob, that's a slippery slope. I agree there are certain things that we all think. And then there are people, I'm sorry, I know this from doing this show, for so many people who've sat here and they're like, oh, this is a smart person, this is a rational person, and then there's like one thing, they don't believe we landed on the moon. And you're just like, no, if you start down that road, if I can't talk to you, if you believe this crazy thing, because maybe,
okay, so
you
let's
just
say
can't.
Yeah, well, so that's the thing, you just can't. You just can't. You just can't talk to people you disagree with. Tommy McDonald, our buddy, he just reminded me that Meathead is in Spinal Tap 2. That's right. Spinal Tap 2, and he was in Spinal Tap. How did you not find that in your research, DeSantis?
I'm sorry. I forgot all about it.
Well, I'm just saying, you should have known that.
Spinal Tap 2 escaped me. I keep forgetting there is a Spinal Tap 2. There's no way that's good, right?
I don't know. I mean,
just
Spinal Tap was
2 weeks ago.
Was epic. Well, yeah. What's the rating on Spinal Tap 2? Do we know?
It's mixed. It's like 66% or something.
Mm. Spinal Tap is, people love it. The movie. I mean, they love it. Not the procedure, but the movie. It's got a huge cult following, 98% on Rotten Tomatoes. But Spinal Tap 2, you're saying not so much. It's tough to make a sequel. You know, it's tough to pull that off. So tough to do. 65%, yeah, not great. Oh well, I'll still see it though eventually. You're probably not going to see it in theaters. I'd probably wait till it comes out. I'm not going to be rushing to see that. So that, especially with Meathead in it. Especially, I forgot about Meathead.
Are you going to see the new Leonardo DiCaprio movie that comes out on Friday, One Battle After Another? It's supposed to be really good.
Yeah, no, that looks good. That looks really good. Is it directed by Martin Scorsese?
I wish. It's actually Paul Thomas Anderson, though. He's always good.
Oh, okay. Well.
He did There Will Be Blood.
There Will Be Blood. Okay.
And Boogie Nights.
And Boogie Nights, yes.
Yes, and Boogie Nights.
Although I think he also gave us The Phantom Thread, which is maybe the most boring movie in the history of cinema.
Mm-hmm. The Phantom Thread?
He likes to work with Daniel Day-Lewis.
Oh, that's right. All right, so I got to run. I got to get out of here to make way for Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla, hosted by me. So if you're not tired of me yet and sick and tired and you want to do 3 more hours of this, stick around. If you don't, I won't take it personally. God knows DeSantis won't be listening, but he hasn't been listening to a word I said all friggin' day, so why would that change? Have a great
the rest of the car interview.
Well, that was nice of you to listen to Jack Barr. All right, well, have a great rest of your night. Thank you, and thanks to the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, for being an outstanding sponsor of the show. This is your time to think about that fall getaway at my happy place, the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. I would love for you to go see them. Grand Hotel is great. Look, the kids are going to be holidays and vacations and all this other stuff coming up. Why not think about the Grand Hotel of Cape May? Because they have that beautiful indoor heated pool. And here's the thing. From October 5th through December 18th, you can enjoy a fabulous midweek fall escape when you book multi-night stay. You're going to receive 10% off your room rate plus resort credits. Go to Hemingway's Restaurant and Bar or the gift shop. Planning a weekend getaway? Don't miss the Grand Escape weekends. Perfect for couples or friends looking to relax and reconnect. And it's never too early to plan your Thanksgiving or holiday break. The Grand Hotel is also the perfect place for your ocean holiday. The Grand is the perfect place to host a wedding, baby and bridal shower. With 4 ballrooms, they have the perfect space to make lifetime memories. Call my friend Caitlin. She was named 2025 South Jersey's the face of weddings. She will help you plan the wedding of your dreams. Book direct with them for the best rates. Call 800-257-8550 or visit them at grandhotelcapemay.com. October is amazing in Cape May. Halloween, they take it very seriously there. They really do. Lots of decorations and haunted house tours, and it's fun, really fun for the kids. And don't forget, we'll be back there October 31st for our Halloween Spectacular. All right, so make your reservations today from October 5th through the 18th. Enjoy that special, fabulous midweek fall escape. Go to grandhotelcapemay.com. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
UnitedHealthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
And I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in, here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at UnitedHealthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.